اللهم صل على نبيك الجليل الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك ترعاه وتوسعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
He has some questions. One of them is regarding, we talked about the traps that Shaitan lays yesterday. And then the question is regarding shaking hands of men with women, women with men, or shaking hands with the opposite sex. It is haram. There is no way which is allowed. So in every circumstances, it is not permitted. May that be your teacher, may that be your boss, may that be your colleague, may that be your friend, may that be your enemy, whoever it is, if it is of the opposite gender, it's not permitted. That is the ruling. Quran says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. That is, the instructions to mu'mineen are that you have to lower down your looks. Don't look into the eyes of others, don't stare at others. If there are girls and there are boys of the opposite sex, we don't have the right to stare at them. Even if you have to look at them and they are uncovered, meaning that they're not observing hijab, because they don't observe hijab, they have broken their own respect and hurmat, so it is allowed for us to look at them because they don't have their own sanctity. But now that they don't have their sanctity, it doesn't mean that we stare at them. Even if you have to look at them, look at them in broken looks, broken sights, but don't stare at them. When we protect our chastity by not shaking hands with them, it turns back to us. And if someone does shake hands with girls, with women, etc., he must be certain that a day will come when people will be shaking hands with your own mahana, with your own wives. Now, this is hadith. Here, it's a teaching that we have. It says that chastity is for chastity. Right? If we are chaste, then we can expect chastity for us. And if we ourselves do not observe this chastity, then we cannot even expect chastity from others. And a very delicate issue is that we see in the riwayah that someone who crosses the fine line of this chastity, then his own dignity is at stake. Dignity of his wife is also at stake. In a hadith, our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam says, quote from Prophet Musa alayhi salam, says that a man had an indecent relationship and then with someone else's wife. When he comes home, he finds that a stranger is with his wife. Now here, he complains to Prophet Musa that why did this happen? In reply, Prophet Musa says that you want be chaste, then you can also expect this chastity for your livelihood, for your family members. And the punishments that we have for someone who has a bad look, Allah, He says that in the hereafter his eyes will be filled with nails of fire. Just for that sin which he has committed, and that is bhaji, looking, staring at the non-mahram. This one more mas'ala to bear in mind, that looking at the opposite genders, if they are not mahram to you, it's not allowed. If they are mahram to you, it is allowed to you if the intentions if there are no temptations over there. Now what about in the television? Can girls look at whatever is shown on the TV? For example, you see these wrestlers, boxers, and they are not, the top is not covered. In that case also, the mujtahideen, almost all of them have a fatwa of ihtiyat-e-wujubi, that you have to to refrain from looking at those sites again where you've got these men wrestling or boxing and they are not covered. The same thing applies to women, if that's the case, and that is for men as well. Tonight it is the Laylatul Qadr, the third of it, when the possibility of it being Laylatul Qadr is very strong. And recite salawat as much as you can throughout the night. And again,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Recite Suratul Qadr as much as you can throughout the night. And the same thing is with the dua that we have, which is dua Fajr, we just recite it. So that too again is one of those special a'mal that we have for tonight. And this night is known as the night of the Imam of Time, Mahdi Anjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Shari'i.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There's a book called Najmus Saqib, and there Muhaddis Nuri, he mentions about 180 names for the Imam of Time. Now when so many names have been mentioned for the Imam, when we come to know these names, our ma'rifah, our knowledge, our acquaintance with the Imam increases. That is, each name of the Imam, there is a whole lot of ma'arif that are hidden in it. Among his names, and which are famous, you know them, is Mahdi, is Muntazar, meaning the awaited, Aba Saleh, and Mu'ammal Nur Muzdar. Muzdar again means desperate. This ayah which we recite, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. In reality,
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
In reality, Muzdar means the most desperate is the Imam. We have a hadith from our sixth Imam. Imam says that the day when he will be instructed to appear, and that night Imam, he will bow down in sajda, and all night he will recite this ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. That is, someone who is the most desperate is the Imam. Now we get afflicted on and off, we get illnesses, jobs, problems, etc. But all that is a very minute distress that we see. The true distress is seen by the Imam himself. And then Imam says, he will recite this ayah so much, cry so much in sajda, that in the morning of that night, Allah will instruct him that your dua has been accepted, move, rise and appear. And that is the day when the Imam will appear. So that is Muzdar, which again is another name of the Imam, or Sahib al-Zaman, Sahib al-Amr, etc. All these are the different names that we have. One of the names that Imam has, and no one among the Ma'sumeen ever had, is Ghaib. Or sometimes says that Ghaib is another name of the Imam. Prior to this, no one possessed that title. We have a salawat, you must have heard it, it's known as the salawat of Khaja Nasiruddin al-Tusi. When the qualities of each one of the a'imma have been mentioned, it starts with Allahumma salli ala, Allahumma salli wa zid wa barik ala sahib al-da'wat al-nabawiyya wa sawlat al-haydariyya wa al-ismat al-qatiriyya, continues and comes to the Imam and says, wa al-ghaybat al-ilahiyya. So Ghaybat al-Ilahiyya is the title given here to the Imam of Time. So why do we call him Ghaib? What is the reason behind that? Or for example, if you see the Surah Al-Baqarah, when you start the first few ayat, and when Allah talks about Mu'mineen, Muttaqeen, says the first quality of these Muttaqeen is that يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They have faith in the unseen. And when our Imam was inquired, who is this Ghaib? What is the meaning of this Ghaib? Imam replies, who al Hujjatul Ghaib? That is the Imam of Time. Who is the argument? Who is Ghaib? Who is unseen? That is the Imam. So Ghaib, we have faith in the unseen, which is the existence of Allah. We have faith in the unseen, which is the Day of Judgment. We have faith in the concept of imamat and an imam who is again unseen. So someone who has iman, aqidah, and faith in an unseen, that person is a remarkable person. That is not seeing anything, he has faith in the haqqaiq and realities. And that is why we find that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam
says that mu'mineen of the end of time are the special ones. There is no one like them. And when he is asked that, why is it that you say such, say so? He say that they project their iman in such tough situations. That is, in those days, it would be as if holding flares of fire on their palm. How tough it is. Says they will have faith in the unseen, just like holding these flares of fire in their palm. Or elsewhere, Rasulullah, he says that, Allahumma laqini ikhwati, God, make it as such that I see my brothers. The companions present in that place, they say that, Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers? Rasulullah says, no, you are my ashab, you are my companions. My brothers are the mu'mineen, are the people of the end of time, who will have faith in me, who haven't seen me. They are my brothers. And then again says, Allahumma laqini ikhwati, that God make me meet my brothers.
Dar salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, a name given to the Imam is Ghaib, unseen. And the ruling that we have, and that applies to every ma'soom, that applies to every human being, or we could say that it's one of those basic human rights, and that is freedom. I need to live easily and live freely. Why is it that if Imam is a human being, that basic human right is not available for him? Why can he not live freely like us, as we have a life? Why should he be hidden? Why must he be ra'ib? This is the question which comes to our mind. So, in reality, this ghaibat of the Imam, it's something which we have imposed on the Imam, not that Allah has imposed on him. For example, to understand that, if we have this sun which has been shining here for the past, as they say, 6 billion years, it's been providing heat and light to everyone, it's doing its job. But all of a sudden, you find that there are these thick clouds which hinder between the light of the sun and this earth, as a result of which we cannot benefit from that sun. Imam also is the same. Allah has given him that life. He is present, but we don't benefit because of those thick clouds, and those thick clouds are in us. It's all that evil, the darkness, the wrong that we do, they hinder between us and the Imam. Looking back into history, because the days are of the Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If people, they abandon the Imam, as in Imam Ali, he was abandoned for 25 years. What did he do? He sat home. And that was a tough time for him. 25 years distance away from the nation, from the community, because people had abandoned him. The same thing is with the Imam of time. This imposition or this ghaibat that we have, that we see, it's something we have imposed upon the Imam, and that is because of our bad performance. And this is a very important point. And if we could understand and perceive this point, that it is us who are putting these limitations on the Imam. And if everyone believed that ghaibat is an imposition on the Imam, and that is something which Imam himself did not choose. So both that occultation which was Ghaibat al-Sughra, or this occultation that we have which is known as Ghaibat al-Kubra, they are all the same. Again, looking back into the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, in a letter that Imam, that is our 12th Imam, writes to Shaykh Mufid. Shaykh Mufid is among the sincere servants of the Imam. In this letter, Imam, he addresses Shaykh Mufid as Li Akhi Sabir, that is my brother, my strong brother. That is Imam, who is the pivot, بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَامِ. He addresses Shaykh as my brother. As Rasulullah there addresses us as his brother, that there are those who will have faith in me who haven't seen. In this letter, Imam says that the pact of Ghadir, Rasulullah returns from Mecca, and all those thousands of people, all of them eyewitnesses, all of them accepted this wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Here Imam says it took just 2.5 months, only 2.5 months, for this pact of Ghadir to break, and that is after the passing away of the Holy Prophet. And there you found all darknesses, all zulmat, all nifaq, hypocrisy, disunity among the people, worldly love, temptation, gains, etc. All these were things which were promoted immediately and at a very fast pace among the community, that a community which Rasulullah had prepared as so good, peaceful, it contaminated and went to the decline with a head-on collision in just 2.5 months. And here we find that Ma'sumin, after that, the same thing was with Imam al-Mujtaba. He also, because people were not in his support, he also had to sit down, so much so that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, who rose after a few decades of the passing away of the Holy Prophet, we find that he again lives in Medina for about 10 years. And the number of ahadith that we have that have been quoted, reported from Abu Abdullah in that time is only 270 to 280, and it's in 10 years. As if Imam had no presentation before the nation, before the audience, before the congregation at all. Or in other words, in each year he could say only 10 sentences. And that is a mazlumiyya, that is an oppression. Imam, whose task is like the sun to shine over the entire creation of Allah, has all those limitations that he cannot communicate, he cannot speak, and he cannot convey the message of Allah. So that is something which was imposed on the Imam by the nation, by the people, not by Allah. So what we find today regarding the Imam of time, that he is in ghaibat, that Imam who is in ghaibat again is due to the reason that we have imposed this ghaibat on the Imam. This land which Allah has created is never without a hujjat. Allah says that so long as this land or this creation is to be sustained, a hujjat, an imam, has to be there. A person comes and asks our sixth imam, that imam, can I address you as Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Imam says, you cannot do that. Whosoever is addressed as Amir al-Mu'mineen is no one but a kafir. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the title which is given only and only and only to Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then he says, can I address the 12th Imam of Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says, you can't. He says, how do I address him? He says, if you want to address the Imam, say, As-salamu alayka ya baqiyatallah. Baqiyatallah means the remnant of Allah, means the representative of Allah on this earth, that is, in the entire creation of Allah. So, ghaibat, which Imam has, is something that has been imposed by us, and he deserves to live like we live, that is, freely, without having any limitations on his existence. And that is why we have these other ziyara. There are mu'mineen who have that free access with the Imam. Although Imam is in ghaibat, but they, for them, the ghaibat and zuhur of the Imam is alike. For them it doesn't matter. That is because they have purified themselves so much. There are no barriers, there are no limitations, there are no clouds between them and the Imam, and they can have free access and they can witness from the presence of the Imam. And this is again one of the du'as that we have, wishes and desires that we have, to be able to see the Imam, to be able to meet the Imam. And these eyes that Allah has created, some of these ulama, they say that blind is that eye which does not look at the Imam once in a day. So it means that there is something wrong in our settings, something wrong in these firewalls that we have, that does not allow us to communicate or to look at the Imam in that dua al-ahd that we recite every morning. We say, Allahumma arini talat al-rashida. That Allah make it as such that I see the Imam of time. The reason why we don't see is because of these eyes of ours, they are contaminated. For an eye to be able to see the Imam, that contamination has to be set aside. As it was mentioned in the past few days, at-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin. Good for the good. If we want these eyes to see the Imam, eyes have to be pure, eyes have to be good. So that good can be seen. That goodness attracts goodness. So, says that we have to have that wish, that desire to see the Imam. May that be while asleep, may that be while awake. Now, why is the Imam away? Why is he alive? Again, these questions may come to our mind. And we talk about these 313 when they are available. And when that quota is complete, Imam will return. So it seems that those 313 people are not available, as a result of which Imam has not returned. One of the ulama in Najaf, he wished to see the Imam. That is the only wish and desire he has. And for that, he imposes many of these tasks on him for 40 days in a masjid. Now he imposed on himself that for 40 Tuesdays, 40 weeks, he will visit Masjid al-Sahla, and there he will recite the ziyarat of the Imam. 40 weeks pass, nothing happens. He imposes some more impositions on himself, again nothing happens. Goes to one of the other ulama and then says that, what shall I do? He says that you try this one. That is, leave the town where you are living and try the same prescription, the same formula, away from all your loved ones. Maybe it is possible that you meet the Imam. It was tough for him. That is, to abandon everyone and to go and try this prescription, and his own only wish was to see the Imam. Now all these days, all these years, the things that he has been applying onto his performance, although he did not meet the Imam, but all that was good, and as a result of all that goodness, his soul is purified and purified. And then says that, on and off I saw things from the unseen. And one day, in one of these du'as that I was busy reciting then, a caller tells me that if you want to meet the Imam, go to that market, and that shop, there's a locksmith, and Imam is present over there. You can see him, you can meet him. He says that I just rushed to that shop where the Imam was supposed to be seen. And there I come and I see Imam is there. I wished him, he replies, and he says to me to stand there and look what's going to unfold. Now the locksmith was just a general person, random mu'min, but someone of a good performance. All this is a lesson to myself first. And then he says that I stood in that corner looking at the Imam, that my wish has been granted. And after a while, the door of that shop opens. An old lady, hunched with a walking stick, she enters the shop. And then she says, gives a lock to this locksmith, and says that, I am desperate, and I need 3 riyals. If you could buy this lock from me, and give me those 3 riyals. He sees the lock and says that, mother, it's worth 8 riyals, She says, I want just 3 riyals. Just give me 3 because I'm desperate. He says that, you are a practicing mu'mina and I try to practice myself, but your lock is fine, there's nothing wrong with it, and it's worth 7-8 riyals. And because I'm a retailer, I'll buy it of you for 7 and I'll sell it for 8 so that I gain 1 riyal. She's extremely happy. She was here for 3 riyals and she's getting 7. Imam says, did you see that? That was the wonderful performance of this person. That old lady, she didn't even know whether that lock was fine or not. and she was expecting 3, he gives 7. Now that lady, she had gone to other shops, and when they saw the box, they said, it's done, it's not, it doesn't work at all. We'll give you 2, we'll give you 1 riyal. So she went to all these shops and came to this person, and here she found she gets 7 for that lock. So a person, a locksmith, just a general random Shia with a wonderful performance. Imam says that if I have a few, and then Imam says that in this entire marketplace, in all these shops, this is the only one person who I can trust and rely on out of those thousands of people living over there. It's tough. Or for example, marhum
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Shaykh Hassan Ali Tehrani, another ulama who has passed away. He lived during the time of Mirza Shirazi about 200 years ago. So a friend of his is ill, and in those days they used to say that the person who has this high temperature, if he sweats, that temperature of his will break down and he will find the shifa cure. He's, now everyone has given up hope that he has been in high temperature for quite a long time. And then he says that when I come to see him, everyone has faced him towards the qibla, that is his last moments, and he will be dying now. Says, what is the reason? That is that high temperature, which is just shooting up, and it is under, not under control. He says, if you go and get some tea, that temperature will come down by the time you go and make the tea and come. And he says that it took about 15 minutes for them to go, prepare that tea and come. And by the time they come, they see this person who was dying is now sweating, and that shifa has been granted. And they say to him that, what is the reason for that? He says, from the day I wore this amama, this turban on my head, I never sinned, I never committed any sin. And I said to Imam that, Imam, I have said these words, and I don't want this dignity to be at stake. So Imam, he never turns back whatever requests I have, and that is as a result of not sinning. So sins are contaminations. So if we have mu'mineen like those locksmith, ulama like this person, then everything will be fine, and the return of the Imam also will be hastened, will be quick. Now the reason why that does not happen is because of all this pollution that we have, pollution in our performance, pollution in our amal. When it comes to how much should we be obedient to the Imam, is it pick and choose, or some selective things which we like, we just pick up and then we act in accordance to that? If it's namaz, okay, namaz we'll take a bit of it. Fasting, we'll take fasting, but many of the other things which should not be observed in the fast, they are not being observed. And the other performances from among the wajibat and muharramat, we find all of that wrong, all of that mess is present in us, that is bad. If, for example, we are told that Imam, he is at the door at our house, is it as such that we say, just tell him to wait for a while, we have to put certain things aside and then he can walk in? That is bad. Performance of mu'mineen should be as such that whether Imam comes without any notification or with notification, that livelihood has to be the same, that haram and that those halal, they have to be observed at all times. We have this ziyarat Ali Yasin. Once in a while recite it. It's beautiful. Ziyarat Ali Yasin, if you would do it on a Friday, and there we say that فَالْحَقُّ مَا رَبِيْتُمُ. Haq, when we talk about meaning right, right is all that which Imam is pleased with. وَالْبَاطِلُ مَا أَسْخَبْتُمُ. Batil, wrong, evil is all that what you hate. So my love and hate should be what Imam loves and what Imam hates. It shouldn't be that I love and I don't. It is said that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib
salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad,
in one of his journeys towards Afghanistan, there they had a dish, a sweet dish called Fardusak. And that is what we have, you know, today as Faluda. Then they offered Amir al-Mu'minin. He said, "What's that?" He said, "It's called Fawz. Like, it's a sweet dish we have over there at dessert." Imam looks at it and says, "My Habib, he never ate it. How can I?" So he puts it aside. Although it wasn't haram, he said, his Habib is the Prophet. So he walks into the footsteps of the Prophet, whatever he has done, he does. Says that فَالْحَقُّ مَا رَضِيْتُمُ وَالْبَاطِلُ مَا أَسْخَدْتُمُ. Batil is all that you hate, haq is all that you like. That should be our motto. وَالْمَعْرُوفُ مَا أَمَرْتُمْ بِهِ. Ma'ruf, which we talk about, good for example. Say all that which you have commanded, that is ma'ruf. If you say do it, we'll do it. If you say don't do it, we will not do it. That is obedience. A person, he says that I once saw Amir al-Mu'mineen in one of these gardens, and then he was busy irrigating the land. And then he says, I saw there were two people, but I see just two footsteps. When there are two people, there should be four footsteps in the ground. He says, I saw just two footsteps. And how is that? If there are two people, there should be four. I see only two. And then he says, the other person was Salman, who was with him, who was so cautious of his performance, that, I mean, he puts his feet in the footsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Doesn't go behind, doesn't go forward. In the footsteps. That is that wonderful performance. But if we do practice that's easy, we can also do the same, walking into the footsteps of Imam. But in reality, what he has does, that we do what he didn't do, we don't do, that is tough. وَالْمُنْكَرُ مَا نَهَيْتُمُ. That is, munkar even is all that which you said don't do. When it comes to Ma'sumeen alayhi salam, all of them, now we are talking about the Imam of time. There is this hadith which we, I think I have mentioned it a few times over here, says that شِيَعَتُنَا قَدْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ فَادِقِ تِينَتِنَا وَعُجِنُوا بِنُورٍ بِلَايَةٍ. That is, our Shias, that they have been created with the leftover clay with which Ma'sumeen were created, and that clay was mixed with the light of Wilaya. That is our genesis. That is how we have been created. Shia, they didn't just pop up like mushrooms. No. They have given a test even back in that Alam-e-Alas. Or after passing of all these stages, they are Shias. So being a Shia is a big bonus which is granted to just a few. In this hadith, Imam says that when they, Ahlul Bayt, are happy, we are also happy. That is, if it is an occasion like as it was yesterday, the Shahada of Mawla, everyone was hurt. Or when it is the 15th of Sha'ban, we find that we are happy. If it's Ashura, we are sad. Even if anyone hasn't uttered or said anything, we just feel that we are grateful, we are happy, or we are sad on these occasions. The reason is because of that connection we have with them. Because they are happy, we are happy. They are sad, we are sad. Here says that يَحْزُنُونَ بِحُزْنِنَا وَيَفْرَحُونَ بِفَرَحِنَا. That mu'mineen, they are those who are happy when we are happy. They are sad when we are sad. Rumayla, one of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is sick, ill, has high temperature. Now this is during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he is the Khalifa in those 5 years. He says that on that Friday, when his temperature had broken, he was a bit better. He says, the best thing I could do on this Friday is that perform a ghusl of wuzu and then say my prayers behind Amir al-Mu'mineen. That is the best thing I can do. He says, I performed this wuzu, I came, I sat in that khutbah of Imam Ali, and he was delivering that sermon, and this temperature of mine again, it starts shooting up, and I fell sick again. And then, when everyone had dispersed, everyone had gone home, only Rumayla was present, Imam was also coming out of the mosque, and then Imam says, Rumayla, it seems you are not feeling well. He says, yes, my master, I'm not well, I'm having this high temperature. And then Imam says, Ya Rumayla, laysa min mu'minin yamrud illa maridna. That is, no mu'min ever fell ill, but we fell ill with him. We are ill with him. وَلَا يَحْزَنْ إِلَّا يَحْزَنْ. That he is not afflicted, he is not sad, but we are sad. He says, when they are happy, we are happy. When they fell down, we feel the pain. Says, when he fell down, we say, ouch. Imam says that when they raise their hands for the du'as, they have raised their hands, we say, Ameen from there. Says, bond between Imam and Ma'moom, Ma'moom is, that's great. That is, between the Imam and the Muslim. So, the teaching that we have over here is that when it comes to our wishes and our desires, it shouldn't be as such that we have a package of wishes and desires which are not compatible or do not match with the wishes and desires of the Imam. That is that. We have to be totally compatible. It shouldn't be a Windows which doesn't work with Macintosh. So if he is of that nature, of that caliber, we also have to be the same. جعل هواه هوا أمير المؤمنين. Regarding Salman, says that his desires were the desires of Amir al-Mu'mineen. جعل هواه هوا says. So, or the same thing, we Salman.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Muhyiddin Irbini, he says, now I just want to show you how Ma'asumeen have a grace, a special grace over us. He says, I was in a cafeteria and there I see this person, he was also present over there with his Muhyiddin Irbili with his father. And that one person sitting in that cafeteria all alone. He says he was sitting and all of a sudden he dozed off. He slept. When he slept, his head tilted. There was a turban and Amama on his head. He says that when he slept, he dozed off, that Amama slipped off his head. And there was a big wound, a big scar on his head. And we just got worried that what is that wound he has on his head? We asked him, what is that? He says, this wound, I got wounded in the battle of Siffin. They start laughing, the father and the son. Battle of Siffin from today is about 600 years. How did you fight in the Battle of Siffin and you got wounded in the Battle of Siffin? He says, listen, this is my story. Says, I was once walking towards the midst of Egypt, all alone, and all of a sudden I find someone also in amidst my path, and we are two people walking in those deserts and no one else. And as we have this conversation, I find out that this person who is with me is a Nasiri, someone who has that hatred towards the Shias. Then when we have this heated debate, he says that if I was in the battle of Siffin, I would have quenched the thirst of my soul with the blood of Ali and his companions. He says, if I was there, I would have done the same with the blood of Muawiyah and his companions. So he all of a sudden took his sword out and he hits him, wounds him. And he says that the last thing I remember is that there was a blow on my head and then I just passed out. I don't remember anything after that. And then he says, when I came back to my senses, I find that my head is in the lap of someone. Says that I saw that his hand is being waved, starts from my toe, all the way coming towards my head. And as his hand is on my body, all my wounds, they are getting cured and that shifa is being granted. He comes to my head and says that you are cured now, you are safe. This wound on your head, it will remain. And Imam says, it was the Imam of time. And then he says, whoever asks you, where did you get wounded? Tell them that I was in the battle of Siffin with Amir al-Mu'mineen, I got wounded there. So that is the teaching that we have, that even the same thing can be seen when Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, he comes to the grave of Abu Abdullah on the day of Al-Ba'in, and there he says that, says salam, salutations upon Aba Abdullah, and then says, Ya Aba Abdullah, in this sacrifice which you gave, I am also a partner of yours. I also have a share in this sacrifice. One of the Mufassirin present over there, he says that, what did you do, Jabir? You can hardly stand, you can hardly see. What did you do? you cannot even hold a sword. What services did you provide and what share do you expect? And then in reply he says that سَمِعْتُ حَبِيبِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, that I heard my beloved
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدْ,
I heard my beloved Rasulullah, مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا حَشَرَ مَعْهُمْ, that whosoever loves a nation will be raised with that nation. He says, I loved Abdullah, so I will be raised with him, and I do deserve a share. And then he says that وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ عَمَلَ قَوْمٍ أُشْرِكَ فِي عَمَلِهِمْ, that whosoever loves the action of a nation will also be, will get a share from that, will be a partner in the action of that person. So if that is good, good will be rewarded, and if that action is bad, bad will be sought and got by that individual. So we have to be careful that if we want to be with the Imam, the package of our wishes and desires should be what Imam wants. And if that is not the case, then it's tough, it's difficult. Now, someone who is associated with the Imam, on a night like tonight, which is the night of the Imam of Time, the more the acquaintance we have with him, the more we benefit. We talk on this on and off quite a lot. Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Milani, he is among the Asafi of Ayatullah al-Uzma Khamenei. Again, he says that during his time, the time of the Ustad, says there were two brothers living in Najaf, both of them Maddah. Maddah means a reciter, Zakir. Both of them recite for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that is Maddah. And whatever our acquaintance is with, that is going to remain with us. Hadith says that if you love a stone, you will be resurrected and raised with that stone. مَنْ أَحَبَّ الشَّجَرَ أَشْرَ الْمَحْمَعَ, that you will be raised with that stone. So if we love Ahlul Bayt, we will be raised with them, if that acquaintance and bond is with them. He says these two brothers, they recited very good, and there is a group that comes from Bombay, and then they see this wonderful recitation of the two brothers and they invite them to India. They come to India and they recite, and then they become frequent visitors in all of these programs that were held. And on one of these journeys, when they arrive to Bombay, they say that there was a ship that was ready, because in those days traveling was by sea. He says, we were disembarking and there was another ship that was leaving for Hajj. The two brothers, they have a little dispute. The younger one says that Hajj is wajib on us and we have to go and perform Hajj. Recitation for Abdullah is mustahab, we can do it any time, but wajib has to be done first. The other brother says, we have committed, we cannot take our word back. He says, but we have to go, we are mustatib, we are well off now. There's a debate. The younger says that I'll go for Hajj, I'll come back as soon as I can and be with you for the rest of the recitation, that is in the later days in the month of Safar. He says, okay, he sets off. Now when he comes back from Hajj, and it is in the middle of the month of Safar, he says that when I come, those who come to welcome me, they welcome me in a different way. It's not that same welcome which was all the time. And then I found out that my brother has died. Here he says that two things hurt me a lot. First, my brother, he has died away from his homeland, away from his people in Ghurbat. And now, the second thing is, he has died not performing a Hajj, a wajib which he had to do. He has a tawassul and says, Allah, make it as such that I have a communication with my brother and see what is happening. And if there is anything, I can help him, please. Says the communication is created between me and my brother. And then he says, tell me what happened. How did you end up? Where are you now? He says, don't ask me. I ended up very painfully. And I gave my life in a very bad way. And now the position also is such that I was taken to a cell, punished over there, But later on, the situation is going to change. And then he says, what was the reason for that? He says, because I did not perform that Hajj, which was wajib. He says that I was assigned a cell, and two angels, they come, and they tell me that instructions of Amir al-Mu'mineen are that you have to be taken to a worse cell, not the cell that you are here. He says, when I heard that now these two angels are dragging me, taking me to that worst cell, then I start this tawassul, because that was my job. Says that daste mano inayato lutfu ataye fatime qalbe mano mahabbatu ruze jazaye fatime be bazle daste fatime be khake paye fatime manam gedaye fatime manam gedaye fatime. That is by the hands and the bestowals of Fatima. God, by this heart, which has this love of Fatima in it, by the sadaqah which Zahra will give it to me, the bazlitaste Fatima, by the dust of the feet of Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima. Then says that rishte mehri Fatima suye khuda kishad mara dil be balash dadam ta be kuja kishad mara dard agar ata kunad yaad bala kishad mara pay borun nemi nahad az dar kuye Fatima manam gedaye Fatima manam gedaye Fatima. That no matter what the afflictions and no matter what circumstances would be, I will not move away from this house of Fatima. That is, whatever I wanted all these bestowals from the house of Fatima. He says that when I start reciting and have this tawassul with Hazrat Zahra, immediately she appears there. She says, what's up? Says, this is what has happened, Ya Zahra. Help me. She tells those two angels to take him to Amir al-Mu'mineen, because Amir al-Mu'mineen is Qasim al-Nari wal-Jannah. He is the distributor of the heavenly heaven. It is he who has to decide. The two angels, they bring this maddah, this zakir, to the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he says that the moment he saw me, he said, why did you bring him here? Did I not tell you to take him to that cell, that worst? They bring him back, dragging all the way through. And then once again he starts reciting that same qasima all over again. Daste mano inayato lutfu ataye fatime, until the end. He says, and again she appears. She says, what happened? That Imam has declined. He has rejected. Says, I'll come with you now. She comes with that maddah, with those two angels, to Amir al-Mu'mineen. And here she says, Ya Ali. In the presence of Zahra, Amir al-Mu'mineen is all respect, is all adab. She says, do something for him. He has served us. He has recited for us. He has cried for us. He has made others cry for us. Ya Ali, do something. Imam says, what can I do? Instructions given to me are clear, that someone who dies not performing a Hajj, mata Yahudiyan aw Nasraniyan, has died a death of a Jew or a Christian. I can't do anything. She says, nobody. Something has to be done for him. She says, Mahdi calls the Imam, her grandson. Immediately the grandson is present before the grandmother. Says, yes, what can I do now? She says, Mahdi, he has served us. He has a shortfall in his performance. I want you to perform a Hajj this year on behalf of this servant of ours, so that his shortfall is corrected. He says that after the instructions given by the grandparents to the grandson and him performing a Hajj on my behalf, my situation changed. So that is how ma'sumeen they help. When we recited over there, that when you are sad, we are sad. When you are happy, we are happy. This is the same thing. And the more stronger we are with them, and sincere we are with them, the more we benefit from them. May Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala, on this night, which is the night of Qadr, the night of the Imam of Time, may Allah Jalla wa Ala help us. Help us become better persons. The wrong that we have done, may Allah forgive us. We sincerely repent. And Hadith says that someone who has repented and has come to the existence of Allah, أَتَّاعِبُ مِنَ الزَّمْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَلَ. That is, someone who has repented, Allah says, it is as if he hasn't committed any wrong, he hasn't committed any sin. So in this night we ask Allah to forgive us, to waive all that wrong that is in us, to help us correct and improve our performance, so that the Imam is pleased with us, as a result of which his supporters, his sincere servants, they are increased, and his emergence and his return is also hastened. Allahumma ajjal fi faraji mawlana wa sahib al-zaman. Allahumma arina al-tal'ata al-rashida wal-ghurrat al-hamida. Fakhan nadhi binazratin minni ilayhi wa ajjal farajahu wa sahhil makhraja.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.